Hi, I'm Leah Lane, an award-winning travel writer and author of Places I Remember, Tales, Truths, Delights from 100 Countries. On this podcast, we share conversations with travelers about fascinating destinations and memorable experiences around the world. Speedy commuter trains are an efficient means to get from A to B, but for travelers, by day or overnight, a train trip can bring you where everyday roads can't, all around the world. Boarding a train means letting someone else do the driving and navigating, watching the world go by in the comfort of a seat or a bed, a chance to view the landscapes, to stop and go off train for excursions you wouldn't otherwise experience. Traveling by train can be an adventure in itself. Our guest is Yi Ding, business and growth manager for Eurail, the company behind the Eurail and Interrail passes, enabling flexible rail travel across Europe. We'll be talking with her in the first part of the episode. We'll both discuss some general train trips, and after that, I'll describe some of the greatest private train trips in the world. And then Yi and I will both end the episode with our own special train travel memories. Welcome, Yi, to Places I Remember.
Thank you, Leanne.
Well, train travel in Europe is on the upswing, thanks in part to a renaissance in sleeper trains and new investments in high-speed rail across the continent, especially in Central and Eastern Europe. Tell me about the growth of Euro. What's going on right now?
But actually, what we see in 2022 is that the outbound travel to Europe has resumed dramatically, and we see that more and more American travelers are booking the Europass and traveling within Europe with the Europass. So definitely the first sign of a recovery after 2 years of pandemic.
I read that on average, U.S. travelers visited three countries during their trip with an average of 1.5 train rides a day. Is that about correct?
Yes, you are absolutely correct.
So how does Eurail work? Tell us what you do if you want to get a pass.
So with a Eurail pass, travelers of all ages can use an expansive network of train and ferry connections to travel in and between up to 33 countries. The history of a Europass can be traced back to 1959, when the first Europass was born. It was firstly introduced to American travelers to travel in Europe by rail after the Second World War. So since then, the pass has been expanding the network from covering multiple European countries back to 60 years ago to now 33 countries.
Well, I remember as a student taking a Eurail pass and going all over the place. What an exciting thing. I just loved it. It was a wonderful way to see, not only to see the country, but to meet the people, because you'd meet the passengers, many of them people from all over the world, like you said. It was a very exciting thing. But there was no mobile pass then. Tell us about the mobile pass.
Yeah, in 2020, we launched the mobile pass, and now over 90% of American travelers use mobile pass to travel within Europe. And mobile pass is so flexible, it gives each traveler the opportunity to just use one single app to manage their trips, to keep tracks of their trips, and show the ticket straight from their device to the ticket inspector. So it's much easier than using the paper pass.
Absolutely. I remember fumbling around, losing the pass, you know, different languages at the time. You had to have passports between countries. It was really quite an experience, but it was fun. Now it's a much smoother and better ride, I know.
Exactly. And customers can just load their mobile pass into the RailPlanner app as soon as they get their order confirmation. So there's, as you mentioned, there's no risk of damaging or losing a mobile pass. Yeah, it's absolutely fantastic.
I know that many other train systems use it as well. Amtrak in the United States has one too. So it's a really big thing to make it easier for you to get on and off the train. Now, a great part of this, one of the best reasons to travel, besides being able to see the world from your seat, tell us some of the ways that train travel makes a better green option.
Absolutely. Compared to cars and airplanes, train emits about 70 to 90% less carbon. So in terms of energy consumption, use of space and noise levels, trains are far more sustainable. The CO2 emissions of an average Eurail trip are about three times less per person than traveling the same routes by car and four times less than traveling by plane. And actually, Eurostar conducted a survey, an independent research a while ago, showing that traveling by train from London to Paris emits 90% less greenhouse gas emission than traveling by short-haul flight for the same route.
That's wonderful. Can you bring your bike on easily? Is there special storage for bikes?
Yes, in some countries, such as in the Netherlands, where I live in, bringing a bicycle is possible, and you just need to pre-book a space for the bike.
Okay, it makes it a great asset to know that you're traveling green as well as traveling fun. Now tell me, what are some of the most popular European routes with U.S. travelers?
For the U.S. travelers, the most popular European routes are from Rome to Florence, from Paris to Rome, and Amsterdam to Brussels. As you hear the names, they are the big cities. No surprise that the American travelers would first need to land and use the international flight and land in the big cities like Paris or Amsterdam.
What about other travelers from around the world? Is it similar?
We see, for example, the European travelers, they tend to use the bus to travel in the Eastern Europe, from Berlin to Prague.
Now, I've taken some exceptionally scenic train trips in Europe. I mean, sometimes I was just going from one place to another, but they happen to be gorgeous. What are some of the most scenic routes in Europe if someone wants to take it for that purpose alone?
There are just two routes that I'd really like to highlight. The first one is the Bergen Railway. It runs from Oslo to Bergen, which is included in the Europe Pass. It goes through the deep Norwegian fjords to the snow-covered mountain. This is really fantastic. And the second one is the Bernina Express, running from Kerr, Switzerland to Tirano in Italy. So the train takes about 4 hours from start to finish, passing through about 55 tunnels and 196 bridges. So in spring, the Bernina Express travels through green fields and large, colorful farming villages. And in winter, the train passes through snow-covered mountains, frozen lakes. So the experience is like a moving theater, depending on the seasonality.
Sounds beautiful. I've been on the Flam Railway. That's the one in Norway. And I remember the waterfalls all around me. And they were playing Peer Gynt Suite by Grieg. It was in the air. And I remember, this is perfect. I'm seeing Norway and listening to this great music. I loved it. Now, night trains have become popular to save time and cost, sort of like a land cruise where you travel at night and you have the day to explore. For example, you might fall asleep in Paris and wake up in Nice, and it just gives you the whole day in Nice without being tired. So tell me about Eurail in terms of sleeping and bathroom facilities.
Eurail, first of all, the night trains are indeed getting so popular in Europe, as it saves travel time by moving from one destination to the next while sleeping. And the many night trains are included in the Europass. For example, from Zurich to Amsterdam, launched in December 2021. And we see that the night train becomes a new hype. Waking up in the destination in the following morning is just so unique. Some have couchette, some have the regular seats, and some even have the sleeper cabin. And with the Europass, the travelers have the opportunity to book different compartments fitting their travel plan.
If it has a bedroom in it, it'll have a dining car, right? There'll be dining where you can sit down and have a meal. Is that correct?
Yes. Sometimes if a traveler books a sleeper cabin, a free breakfast will be delivered to the cabin. Of course, travelers can also go to the dining car.
And there are hot showers, I presume. And are there any private bathrooms, or one for every few bedrooms? Or how does that work?
In some sleeper cabins, there's the dedicated bathroom. There's a private bathroom for each cabin. So there's no need to share the bathroom.
I want to ask you about some of the newer routes, because there are places that are not really so easy to get to, and you give ferry passes for those. What are some of the ones where you offer a ferry pass?
Yeah, the most popular one is the Greek Island Pass. It allows a traveler to use the Attica ferry to do the island hopping. And with Europass, the travelers can also enjoy some pass benefits. And our pass benefits include some ferry lines connecting, for example, Germany to Sweden. So the most popular one by far is absolutely the Greek Island Pass.
I know you can do the Greek islands and get a ferry pass to that, which is super great. So I think it's a great addition to be able to go a little further. beyond, you know, sometimes when there aren't rail lines, you can go deeper into Europe. Okay, let's offer some tips for easier train travel before I mention some of the world's best private trips. Let's start with safety and health. What would you suggest? What are some suggestions for safety?
The train travel is a reliable transport, meaning that it by itself, it offers a sense of security for our travelers. Like it's punctual and it's comfortable and it's safe.
What's the best car to be in? There's all kinds of myths about this, where to sit and in terms of motion sickness as well. Yeah, which one in the front, the back? Everybody says something different, of course, but what do you suggest?
I would say choose the window seat, no matter it's on the front or in the back. Some trains, they do offer a semi-panoramic view, especially the scenic trains, no matter it's in the front or in the back.
That's a good. And you can see, I mean, the perfect place to sit is the window because you see the views anyway. That's a good thing. I would say that one thing I feel a little bit shaky about literally is when I go between cars. So you want to watch yourself then and wear comfortable shoes. I wouldn't wear very high heels probably. Also, I would wear comfortable clothing and that you don't have to dress up anymore.
Wear whatever you think is comfortable. Totally fine.
Yeah. I'm just thinking of some of these long distance rides where you're going through mountains and it sort of curves around. And I've been caught in the middle of the cars. So that's something I think about. I think one suggestion I would make is to make a pre-departure list because there's a lot of things going on when you're going to the train station and you want to know what you're doing. You want to have your ID with you. You make sure you have your train tickets, consider your travel insurance, and make sure to bring your medications and personal care items. And check ahead of time about Wi-Fi on the train. How about on your rail? Is there Wi-Fi on most of the trains?
The most of the trains, especially in the western part of Europe, do offer free Wi-Fi. And good to mention that in some major European stations, the first class EuroPass holder can also enjoy the lounges. And in those lounges, they can use free Wi-Fi and sometimes enjoy some free drinks. So, yeah.
Can you bring your own food on board?
Oh, yes, absolutely.
Well, two of my tips that I've, you know, thought about a lot because I've traveled on trains a lot. One is to familiarize yourself with the route, because when I've taken a map out in the old days, I used to take it out. Now you just look on your phone. But when you know where you're going, it makes such a difference. You go through a city and you see some of these beautiful buildings. If you know the history of the city, it helps a lot. So I do a little preparation and know your route and makes a difference in terms of understanding where you are. And to me, that's one of the things about travel. I like to feel the sense of place. So that's fun. I mean, you have the time to do that when you're sitting, when you can't do that in a car. The other thing is to pack carefully, because I've had to lift some pretty heavy things up step.
I would like to travel light. I also would like to recommend the travelers to bring less many trains. There is special luggage storage space.
Now, I think one of the things is to be aware of scheduling, because they may change on weekends. My friend Alan had a problem once. He was in grad school. He was traveling by himself on the train and he took a stop. He knew there was about 15 or 20 minutes and he left his backpack on the seat because he knew, you know, he just was going to go out a little bit. And the train left with his backpack. Unfortunately, it was a Sunday. He didn't notice that it was a different schedule. He did get the backpack because the people were very helpful to him, which is another thing. You can get help if there's a problem. But remember that the scheduling may change on the weekend. So be aware. So we've covered lots of info, but I compiled a list of some of the greatest private train rides of the world. They're usually private lines that offer scheduled excursions, and sometimes even the possibility of a private charter. And they're luxurious and they're throwbacks. And I'm just going to read you some of them. Even if we don't go on them, they're lovely to hear about. The most famous probably is the decadent Venice Simplon Orient Express. The interiors are Art Deco from the 1920s. The service is fantastic. You dress formally, you play dress up kind of, and you feel like you're in an Agatha Christie mystery because you have champagne and you're watching the countryside go by. And it's quite an experience. I went on a little leg of it from, I think it was from London to the edge of Britain, Dover, one of those areas at the end, just a little portion. And it was so beautiful. It was like a throwback. So I think this is similar to many of these trains. They're wood paneled and they're built earlier and they're repurposed by private companies for a luxury week or so. Some of them are 3 or 4 days. You'd have to book ahead. But they're fun, as I said, to listen to. Now, the Royal Canadian Pacific is Canada's most luxurious sleeper train. And Queen Elizabeth has been on it. And there are only 8 luxury passenger cars, and they were built between 1916 and 1931. So it's a throwback again. You can have a wood panel cabin and watch the mountains go by and the prairies of Canada. Someday in the future, we can return, I hope, to the Golden Eagle Trans-Siberian Express, which you start from Moscow, it goes to Vladivostok, or vice versa. You see Mongolia's capital, Ulaanbaatar, the Ural Mountains, Lake Baikal, which is the largest body of fresh water in the world, and the vast steppes of Central Asia. So that's something to hope to get back to. It's 5-star service with lots of vodka and caviar, all you can eat. In episode 23 and in episode 30, we talked about Machu Picchu in Peru, and you can take several trains that are wonderful to get there. There's the Belmont Hiram Bingham, which is named after the discoverer of Machu Picchu, who discovered it in 1911. And it's very luxurious. It takes you there in 20th century charm. These are mostly, as I said, throwback trains. So you're going to feel like you're in the past usually, which is kind of fun. But you can stretch out and view the mountains as you go. Then there's Inca Rail, which is more accessibly priced than the others. It's also very nice. It gives you live Peruvian music and you eat organic ingredients grown right in the Sacred Valley, and you can see the staggering scenery through a spacious observatory lounge with an open air balcony, sipping a pisco sour, which wouldn't be bad. There's another one called the Andean Explorer, which goes all the way to Lake Titicaca in Bolivia. And it goes through the Peruvian Andes at 14,000 feet. And it's really something else. You get all sorts of alpaca wool blankets and hand-woven fabrics. And you'll eat something called alpaca tortellini, which I don't think you're going to get very many places, with champagne. So it's really special if you're going in that part of the world. In episode 55, we talked about the Royal Scotsman. And I had taken that years ago. I don't know if it's quite the same today. But I do know there are only 24 guests on board. You go through some of the most beautiful areas of the Scottish Highlands. There's a dedicated spa carriage. And listen to this. The specialists are trained to synchronize their motions with the natural lilts and tilts of the train. So that's real luxury. I don't think you could get that anywhere else. In episode 4, we talked about walking the Camino de Santiago. Well, you can take a train, El Transcantabrico Clásico, which is a luxury sleeper train, takes you on the same route if you don't want to walk. I don't know if you're going to get your shell at the end. I don't know if that's considered walking and pilgrimaging, but it's a beautiful way to see that part of the world. And it makes stops at the Guggenheim Museum in Bilbao and in some of the prehistoric caves. And again, many of these trains, they're tours, they will stop for the best areas of the whatever itinerary you're on. So you get a real tour as well as a train ride. In South Africa, the pride of Africa is the Rovis Rail, which is going on for 33 years. It goes from Pretoria, and there's a private lounge and a no cell phone rule. Some of these trains do have a no cell phone rule because they want to, again, be a throwback. They don't want the present interfering with the luxury. So, you know, it's a wonderful journey. You get to see much of Southern Africa. There's even a freestanding clawfoot tub in most of the grand compartments. India has the Palace on Wheels, which is a 2-week trip. Takes you from New Delhi through the pink city of Jaipur in Rajasthan and to some of the great UNESCO sites. And also Agra, home of the Taj Mahal. In episode 39, we talked about Singapore. And you can go from Singapore to Bangkok on the E&O, which has polished wood interiors, trimmed with silk, polished silver, white linen covered tables, and a bar car reminiscent of 1920s jazz clubs. You'll see the Malaysian jungle roll by sipping a Singapore sling. How bad is that? Now, I like this one because it's a little bit different. It's the Belmont British Pullman. It's a historic 1950s carriage designed by filmmaker Wes Anderson. It's been updated to his specification, so you know it's going to be special. You will sip your champagne, and glassware was hand-selected by Anderson, and you get a private tour of the train with the manager of the train. So it's kind of a personal feeling when you go on that train. You'll go from London through much of England, York, Cambridge, Canterbury, and you'll feel like you're back in the 20s and 30s, just like on many of the other lines, but with Wes Anderson's touch. If you're in Australia, there's a train called the Gaan, and that's really interesting. The name harkens back to the Afghan camel traders and riders who first helped chart a course through Australia's interior. And you go for a three-day journey from the gold fields to the opal town of Kubrepede. Sounds great. I've been on this last one. It's called the Rocky Mountaineer, and it's very famous. It's the most popular of the train routes. You just have this wonderful glass dome, and you can see the mountains, and you see the wildlife. And there was a big thing on when I was on there, spotting a bear, and we were all looking for the bear, and I fell asleep. And when I was asleep, that they spotted a bear. So that was a thing I remember about that trip. I missed the bear. But it's a very friendly service. You stop at some of the towns like Jasper, and you start in Vancouver. So the name of the podcast is Places I Remember. So Yi, would you share some travel memories about traveling on a train? What memory would you like to share?
I'd like to share my experience memory traveling in Finland with the Europass. We know that many parts of Northern Europe, polar nights, and my best rail experience was to travel from Helsinki, Finland, to the central Finland called Kuopio during Christmas period in 2017. And this is the same train route up north to the Lapland area in Finland. So at that point, daylight was short in winter in Finland. And I remember my train passed through small villages, lakes, and forests covered with snow in different types of twilight. And that's the first time I know the twilight actually has different types and different colors. And the whole experience was just magical because of the light and snow, which made me understand why there are so many fairy tales in a Scandinavian country. It's so pure and magical.
That's beautiful. Isn't there a train that goes to Santa Claus up there? You can meet Santa Claus. Tell us about that.
Yeah, it's the same train route, but I didn't go to the Lapland area. I stopped it in the central part of Finland, enjoying the pure nature.
I have some glimpses in my mind of some of the train trips I've taken. Some of them are on tiny little trains, little cogwheel trains. I went up in the cloud forest in Costa Rica. I've been up to the Jungfrau in Switzerland. I took steam engines along the Rhone in France and in Wales. I've gone through the Channel, you know, the train that takes you from London to Paris. That's an experience. You have lunch and you're in Paris. It's a wonderful trip. I've been in the Grand Canyon where a train was set up where a gunfight ensued. They had outlaws come onto the train, and it was a lot of fun. It was like a story. I've been on the bullet train in Japan, where you speed by Mount Fuji. And I've been on a train in Shanghai called the Maglev, where you go 433 kilometers an hour. It's amazing. Fastest train I've ever been on. You tilt to the side, and it's quite exciting. So wherever you may go, there are trains to take you somewhere. And I think that some of us love them. We love the travel of just going on the train. Sometimes you want to get, because it's convenient, go on a train because of that reason. But whatever it is, I think it's fun talking about them, but it's even more fun taking them. So thank you, Yi Ding, Business and Growth Manager for Eurail, for sharing your information and your stories. I hope we meet on a train somewhere sometime.
Thank you, Lia Lin.
Thanks for listening to our award-winning podcast. We've recorded over 100 episodes of Places I Remember, so follow us on any podcast app. And new monthly episodes are also on YouTube with gorgeous video. My book, Places I Remember, is available in print and Kindle, and I read the audio version. Follow my travel writing at Forbes.com. Contact me at the links in the show notes or on my website, placesiremember.com, and keep making your own travel memories.